Welcome to today's episode of the Sink or Swim podcast. I'm Hiam Allen, and I'm going to be your host today. A little bit about myself before we get started. I'm a fourth-year medical student at Nova Southeastern University, and today's episode is going to focus on residency interviews. So we're going to be talking about everything you need to know about residency interviews and how to ace them. I know that this process can feel overwhelming, but with the right preparation and mindset, you're going to be able to shine during your interview and showcase your best self. Before we get started, I just want to let you know a little bit about me. So I've been through the residency application and interview process myself. For the 2025 match cycle, I applied to internal medicine, and I just finished doing my interviews recently. I did several interviews, and so I've gained firsthand experience and insight that I'm going to be sharing with you today on how to do well on your interviews. And whether it's understanding how to prepare for interviews, tackling common interview questions, or how to follow up professionally, I've been there, and I'm going to be offering practical advice tailored to what worked for me. And then also beyond my own experience, I've worked closely with other peers, mentors, and faculty members, which have provided me with well-rounded perspective and advice on what programs look for in a candidate. So I understand this process and what it takes to succeed. So over this episode, we're going to be diving into everything you need to know about residency interviews. And we're going to be talking about understanding residency interviews. So I'm going to be breaking down their purpose, different formats you might encounter, and then how to align your goals with program expectations. We're also going to be talking about various preparation strategies on how to research programs, how to practice for your interviews. We're also going to be talking about the differences between virtual and in-person interviews and how to navigate both formats. We're also going to be talking about how to navigate challenges and how to handle unexpected questions during your interview. And then lastly, we're going to touch on post-interview etiquette, so how to follow up after your interview. And throughout this episode, I'm going to be sharing real-life examples, tips, and common pitfalls to avoid. So hopefully by the end of the episode, you will have a comprehensive toolkit for success. So let's get started. So for this first part of the podcast, I want to focus on understanding residency interviews. And let's first start by discussing when to schedule your residency interviews. So depending on what specialty you apply to, you will start to receive residency interviews probably in October and then even a little in November. So for this past cycle, our ERAS application was due at the end of September, and I actually did start receiving some interview invites during the end of September, but most of my interview invites were October. And so once you start receiving interview invites, it's going to be very important to schedule them as soon as possible, so that way you can get the dates that you want and it'll work best with your schedule. And so for your top choice programs, I always say consider scheduling them in the middle of your interview season. That way you've had time to prepare, because I feel like your first few interviews are really going to be kind of trial runs for you to see how interviews work and start to kind of understand how they work, and for you to get a little more confidence in getting more comfortable interviewing. And then by the end of the season, you may also be burned out or tired from interviewing. So you really want your top programs, if you can, schedule them in the middle of your interview. And ideally, you want to aim to do interviews probably mid to late October through November. This is a sweet spot for many specialties, and this timing is going to allow you to approach interviews with preparation and energy, and then avoid potential scheduling conflicts as the season progresses, because the more interview invites you get, the harder it's going to start to be to schedule residency interviews. So from my experience personally, I also recommend, if you can, trying to schedule like an easier elective during interview season, because it's going to be a lot harder if you are in like a clinical elective or an elective that requires you to be there a lot of the time for you to do interviews during that time period. And like I said, for me, most interviews I did in October, November, and December, and then I did a few in January. But I think most of my interviews, I had scheduled them really the bulk in December. and a little bit in January because I was on a clinical rotation from the end of October to the end of November. So I really didn't want to do as many interviews during that period. And then also you want to think about during that the week how you're going to schedule interviews. So for me, I found that I was okay actually with doing like 3 interviews a week. Some people don't like to do that. Sometimes you want to space it out and only do 1 or 2 a week. So it's really going to depend again on you. But I found that the more that I did the interviews during that week, I actually got better by the end of the week. But again, it's going to depend on your schedule, your personal life as well. If you have any events going on that you can't do interviews during, but like I said, most of the time interviews are going to start possibly in the end of October and go into January for the most part. And so now let's get into talking about the purpose of residency interviews. So they serve a dual purpose. For programs, they're a tool to evaluate your communication skills, your personality, and then also how you're going to fit in with the team and the culture at that program. But then also for you as the applicant, they're an opportunity to assess whether the program aligns with your goals, values, and vision for your medical career. So think about interviews as a two-way street. It's they're interviewing you, seeing how you fit with their program, but you're also interviewing them and seeing how you're going to fit in the program and that you can see yourself fitting in this program as well. So think about it like that. You're evaluating them and they're evaluating you. And let's talk now about some of the residency interview formats. So most of them are going to have one or more of these formats, and then conducted by various individuals involved in the program. So the interviewers might include faculty members, like the program directors, associate program directors, attending physicians, who are going to be evaluating your maybe your knowledge, problem-solving abilities, and how you'd fit in with the program's mission. And the residents also may interview you to assess how well you'd integrate with the current team and adapt to the program culture. And then also, you may have non-clinical staff or coordinators that might participate in the interviews to offer insight into the logistical and organizational aspects of the program. So you really want to check prior to your interview who's interviewing you and how many interviews you have, because you could also have multiple interviews. So the most common interview format that I had was a traditional interview, where they're one-on-one or a panel style session where you're going to be answering questions about your background, experiences, and aspirations. And again, this could be multiple faculty members are going to be interviewing you. You could have several one-on-one interviews with different faculty members or residents, or you may have, you know, a panel style where it might be the program director, maybe the associate program director, a faculty member, resident. So you really is going to depend again on the program. And most pro interviews with programs, I found that I did meet with the program director and they did interview me. But again, it depends on how big the program is, how busy they are. You may not get an interview with the program director. So again, it's just very program dependent. But during these traditional interviews, they're really designed to gauge your communication skills, your depth of understanding, and how, again, you fit in for the program. And so, for instance, during this interview, you may be asked to elaborate on like a specific experience that you mentioned in your application, or reflect on a challenging clinical experience, or share your long-term career goals. And I'm going to talk later on about some of the common questions that you may be asked during residency interview questions. Another format could be multiple mini interviews, and these are short, structured scenarios designed to test specific skills like ethical reasoning, problem solving, and teamwork. So, for instance, you may be presented with an ethical dilemma and then asked to elaborate on it further. And this really showcases your communication and teamwork abilities. For me, I didn't have any multiple mini interviews. And then finally, another format might be a group interview where sometimes you're going to be interviewed alongside other candidates to see how you collaborate, interact. And again, for me, all of my interviews were traditional interviews, but these are just some other additional formats that some programs may have. And then, with also keep in mind that with the rise of virtual interviews, adaptability is going to be key. And we're going to be talking about how to excel and adapt in virtual interviews later on. So let's kind of summarize what we kind of talked about during this segment. So it's going to be really important, like I said, to remember interviews are a two-way street. And also don't hesitate to ask insightful questions about during your interview. At the end of the interview, you usually have time to ask questions. And so again, make sure you have questions prepared. And this is really going to demonstrate your interest in the program and help you also evaluate the program. So for instance, you could ask about the program's culture, like how residents support one another, or inquire about different opportunities for hands-on learning or mentorship. And then also you might ask about specific opportunities for growth in the program, like about the research or elective rotations or leadership roles. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about that later on. So let's talk on how to prepare for an interview. Preparation is going to be the foundation of a successful interview. And so I would recommend first starting with your research. And you want to start researching the programs well in advance. Ideally, as soon as you receive an interview invitation. Obviously, you probably may have done already some research prior to applying to the program, but now you really want to delve in a little bit deeper. And you want to familiarize yourself with the program's mission, values, recent accomplishments, any unique experiences that the program offers that resonate with you. And you can do this by checking out their website. That's always where I started out, was looking at their website. And I would, you know, have a Word document where I would keep notes on each program that I received a specific interview invite to. That way it could help guide me during the interview and also even afterwards when ranking as well. You can also check out their social media. That's another great place to start, where you can see kind of different activities they may do, and see how kind of their program functions, and then even alumni networks. And you can also, once you find out who is going to be interviewing you, I would also recommend researching the faculty that's interviewing you, the program director, associate program director, to get a little bit more information on them. And that could also help guide you on questions that you want to ask them during the interview as well. You also want to explore their curriculum and see, does that work with you? What type of schedule do they have? How much time do you get off? How much time do you get for electives? Any unique features that they may have, like community involvement, elective, what they offer for electives. And then you can also look at their current residents as well, if any maybe went to medical school or anything like that. And then these can provide you insights into the program and also help you when you're tailoring your questions for the program, because I do recommend making sure that you have a list of questions to ask during the interview. And in addition to researching the program, which, as I mentioned, is extremely important, and like I said, I really recommend either keeping a Word document or an Excel sheet of all the programs that you interview at and with your research, I would also recommend being able and ready to discuss yourself as well. So knowing your CV, personal statement, and any experiences that you may have mentioned on your application is going to be extremely important. I would really use that time before you start interviews to review your application, especially if you may have finished your ERAS application or your personal statement a while ago. You may have forgotten about some of the experiences that you talked about, or if it's something that you may have done a couple years ago or a few years ago, you may not remember everything about it. And that's why I would really recommend reviewing your CV, personal statement, and experiences. Obviously, as interview season goes on, you're not going to have to review these every single time before an interview, because you're going to have reviewed them beforehand, and you should remember the highlights. And you also want to think about key themes in your journey. You want to discuss what makes you unique, what makes you different from the other applicants, and show how you've grown through your medical journey, from even before starting medical to school to how you've grown during medical school. And then you also want to reflect on specific examples that illustrate your skills and accomplishments, like any memorable experiences, clinical or preclinical, any leadership roles that you may have held, or a meaningful research project. And you also want to be prepared to explain why you chose this specialty and how your personal values align with your career goals. So to kind of recap, you really want to make sure that you do research about the program before you interview there. Some programs will also have presentations before the interview, and that'll also help you learn a little bit more about the program. And some programs will send out material beforehand, like presentations or videos that they want you to watch before the interview as well. But I would still, even if, you know, a program is going to send you those materials, or if they're going to have a presentation before the interview, I would still recommend doing your own research at home, even if it's just, you know, even if it's just a little bit of time. I would recommend doing that, looking at their website, making sure that you're familiar with the majority of the program. And then you also want to practice common questions that they may ask you. And so those could include, tell me about yourself. That question I got asked on pretty much every interview that I did. And so you really want to make sure that you have like a 60 to 90 second answer for that, where you kind of highlight your journey into medicine. So why you became interested in medicine, what kind of piqued your interest, talking about key achievements and then future goals, and then trying to tie it back to what the program offers as well. Another common question that you may get asked is why this specialty? And so with this question, you really want to be specific about your experiences and what drew you to this field. So you want to talk about memorable rotations or patient encounters. Another question that you may get asked is, why do you want to join this program? And so again, that's why research is going to be very important beforehand, researching the program. So you could talk about the program's unique aspects that have drawn you in, like their curriculum or community engagement, and then trying to link them to your career goals as well. So that way you show that you're interested in this program, you've done the research beforehand, you know what the program is about. And it'll also help. Also, another question you may get asked is, what do you think you could bring to this program, or what would make you a great fit for this program? So again, that's why it's very important to do your research and know the values of the program and what the program offers. Another question you may get asked is, describe a time you faced a challenge and how you handled it. So in this example, I would describe a specific scenario or example and demonstrate how you've kind of worked through that and how you demonstrated resilience and problem-solving skills and what you've also learned from that situation that you will bring into your future career. Another question that you may get asked is, what are your strengths and weaknesses? So you want to highlight your strengths with examples, and you don't want to pick strengths that are very cliche, like I'm very compassionate or hardworking or dedicated. You really want to pick unique strengths that are going to set you apart. And same thing with the weaknesses. Again, pick unique weaknesses, and with weaknesses, make sure that you talk about the steps that you've taken to improve on this weakness and what you're doing to improve on it and how you're going to continue to improve on it. And again, you don't want to pick cliche weaknesses like I'm a perfectionist or I work too hard, because those are not going to set you apart, and it really doesn't show much self-reflection on your end. So you really want to show a real weakness and what you're doing to improve on it. And then another question you may get asked is, you know, for me, I applied internal medicine. So a common question that I got asked is, am I interested in doing fellowship? Or where do I see myself in the next 5 years? And so that way, with this question, you know, be honest, but you also want to share an answer that's going to align with their values and your long-term career plans and how you believe this program is going to help you get to those goals in 5 years. And so these are the most common questions that I got asked on interviews. Of course, you're going to be getting asked, you know, several different questions. It really depends on who's interviewing you and the program. And some, you know, interviewers, they may just ask like one or two questions and really leave it open for you to ask more questions. And then other interviews, it kind of felt like more like they wanted to ask a lot more questions and then only left a little bit of time to ask questions. So it really just depends, like I said, on who's interviewing you, the type of questions they ask. And again, you know, they may also ask questions about your experiences and what you've, you know, been doing in medical school, what you've learned in medical school.
And so that's why there might be questions also tailored specifically to your application or to your personal statement. So like I previously mentioned, that's why you want to review those. But these are the most common ones that I got asked. And I would recommend reviewing the AAMC guide. They have, I think it's about 40 questions, and those are really great. That's a really great source to start with, and kind of going through each question and just thinking about how you would answer it. And what I did personally is I created a Word document with all those answers, and I just did like quick bullet points on what I would say for each response. That way, I'm kind of used to hearing that question, thinking about it, and I have like quick bullet points and then obviously expand on it. But that was just a good way to get me thinking about how I would answer these questions in an interview. Something else that you want to do beforehand is prepare your story. So when you're interviewing, you want to have compelling anecdotes that are going to highlight your skills and focus on the context and actions you took and then the outcome. So they may ask for a memorable, patient encounter or interaction that taught you a valuable lesson, or a challenging project that required innovative thinking, or a leadership experience that shaped who you are. So you really, with these type of questions, when they're asking about your experiences, you really want to make sure that you do have an anecdote tied to this question and kind of what you've learned from it, and so on. Something else that I recommend to prepare for interviews are mock interviews. They are extremely helpful, extremely important. If you have the opportunity to do a mock interview, please take that opportunity and do it. I was very fortunate that at my medical school, it was required for us to do one mock interview, and then they offered an additional mock interview if we felt like we needed it. And for us, we got interviewed by two faculty members at our school, and it was extremely helpful because a lot of the people that were interviewing us, they have had experience interviewing potential residency candidates. They've interviewed for residency or fellowships, and so they have the experience and the knowledge on how these interviews work and what interviewers are looking for. And so it was extremely valuable that I had that opportunity. I did two mock interviews. I got feedback, and it really, I believe, helped improve my performance tremendously, because prior to this experience, I had never really interviewed that much. I mean, my last interviews were probably like medical school interviews. So it's been a while, and residency interviews are different. So it was extremely helpful to have that insight and advice, and that feedback, and it really did help my performance. And so ideally, you should start scheduling them as early as possible. For me, I believe I did both of them in the summer, I believe in August or September. I did my two mock interviews, and I think that was a perfect timing because it's, just right before interview season starts. So ideally, I would recommend trying to do them a few weeks before your first real interview. And if you don't have the opportunity to do a mock interview, like a formal mock interview with your school, I would recommend practicing with mentors or peers. And having them, just ask you those common questions that I talked about, and being able to talk through them and really pretend that it is a real interview, and have them give you feedback at the end and what they thought about your performance. And it'll just make you also feel a lot more comfortable with answering those type of questions. And if possible, like I mentioned, try to practice with individuals who have experience in residency interviews. So faculty members or senior residents, if you're on a rotation and you're close with a senior resident or a resident that can help you, maybe reach out and see if they'd be willing to ask you a few questions and give you their feedback. And that way they could also tailor that feedback to that specialty as well. And during, in the mock interviews, you do want to pay attention to your body language, your tone, your clarity. And positive body language is going to be maintaining good posture, making consistent eye contact, and also showing that you're engaged by nodding. And then avoid crossing your arms or fidgeting, because this could show that you're just uncomfortable or not interested. For tone, you want to be warm and enthusiastic, but you want to speak clearly and with confidence and not too fast. And that's actually one of my weaknesses, is I talk too fast, and I've even noticed that in interviews I talk too fast, and especially when I'm nervous, I talk even faster if that's possible. So for me, it's really important to try to just remind myself to slow down. And I think recording yourself during a mock interview can be very useful and helpful. And it can help you identify areas for improvement as well and boost your confidence. Because while you're doing the mock interview, you may forget what you said or how you answered a specific question, but you have the opportunity then to watch it back and see, were you fidgeting? Were you speaking too fast? And then trying to correct those before you have your real interview. And again, remember, this is the first time a lot of these programs are going to meet you. So you really want to make a strong impression. And I think, you know, doing mock interviews is really going to help with that. And then also, I have a few more steps that can help refine your preparation for an interview. So like I said, practice with video recordings to spot areas for improvement, like your body language, or if you're using a lot of filler words like or like, and trying to eliminate that. And then preparing a concise elevator pitch that's going to summarize your strengths and interests and what makes you a good fit for the program. And I think that's really useful when they kind of ask you, tell me about yourself, to kind of do that quick elevator pitch. And that way they can, you know, you've caught their attention during the interview as well. And draft specific and thoughtful questions to the interviewers. And again, that's why I said it's very important to research who's interviewing you beforehand so you can really tailor those questions. Are you getting interviewed by a faculty member, program director? And this is going to demonstrate that you're interested in this program. And it can also help you as an applicant assess this program, culture, and opportunities and see, is this program offering what I want from a program? And then solicit feedback after a mock interview. So you can see where you need to improve and address those weak areas and refine your responses.
Back after a mock interview to address weak areas and refine your responses. So now let's move on to talking about virtual versus in-person interviews. So since the COVID pandemic, a lot of interviews move to virtual, and they're kind of staying that way, I feel like. Even 5 years out from COVID, a lot of my interviews were still virtual. Actually, all of my interviews were virtual except for one interview. I did one in-person interviews, but the rest were virtual. And I found most programs still only offered virtual interviews. There were some programs that offered an option of an in-person or virtual interviews. And then there was only a couple programs that wanted an in-person interview. So it's going to be very important for you to kind of have that in the back of your mind that most of your interviews are going to be virtual. But I wanted to kind of discuss the differences between them and how to handle if you have a virtual or an in-person interview. So let's first start talking about virtual interviews. So virtual interviews have pros and cons like in-person interviews do. Some of the pros for a virtual interview are convenience. You know, you can interview from the comfort of your own home, and they definitely save you a lot of time and money on travel as well. And for me, I liked virtual interviews for this point because of how convenient they were. You could schedule them and you could be at home, and I felt a lot more comfortable being in my own setting and being somewhere that I'm familiar. Another pro to virtual interviews is flexibility. So now, because the interviews are virtual, you're going to be able to schedule multiple interviews in a shorter time frame. I had some interviews that were actually back to back where I had like two or three interviews, like 2 or 3 days in a row. And that way you could schedule them because you don't have to worry about having to go there or travel there. You can just do them at home. And then access. So this is also, virtual interviews are going to allow programs and candidates to connect regardless of geographical constraints. But they do also have some cons. So some cons of virtual interviews are limited interaction. You know, it can be a little awkward to sit through Zoom looking at somebody who's interviewing you, especially somebody that you don't know. And so it can be harder to read nonverbal cues or establish a personal connection. Another con is going to be technical issues. And, you know, you're going to need stable internet and functional equipment for this. But I will say for this con, a lot of programs are expecting that there might be some technical issues, and they're very adaptable to that and very receptive, and they'll help you. Even if you do have some virtual issues, they're definitely going to help you make sure that you get your interview done regardless. And then another con is they're less immersive. So you're missing out on seeing the actual physical hospital and getting a tour of the hospital and interacting with residents and other faculty members in person. Now let's talk about some of the pros and cons of in-person interviews. So for the pros of in-person interviews, you have direct engagement. You can really form a stronger connection with the faculty, residents, and staff. You're getting to meet them and getting introduced to them in person. Something else is you're going to be getting facility tours. So this is a chance for you to experience the environment and culture firsthand and get a tour of the hospital, really be able to see it for yourself. Because when programs, if they're virtual, how they do the tour sometimes is they'll just show you a video of the facility, but that's not the same as being there in person. And then another pro is personal impression. So it's a lot easier to observe and evaluate the program's dynamic through Zoom. And also you can make, you know, a lasting impact and impression in person. Some cons of in-person interviews include time and cost. So traveling and other expenses can add up really quickly, and it might limit how many interviews you're going to be able to do. And then another con is just logistical stress of managing travel schedules and navigating unfamiliar location. So again, you might not be able to do as many interviews when they're in person versus virtual. But each format is going to require a slightly different approach, but preparation and professionalism are going to be the key to succeeding in both of them. Like I said, virtual interviews are now a staple. I don't think they're going to be going anywhere for a while, but here are some tips on how to nail them. So you definitely want to test your equipment beforehand. So your camera, your microphone, and your internet connection, making sure that you have stable internet and that your camera is working on your computer or laptop and that the microphone works as well. You want to also optimize your background and your environment. So you want to use good lighting. You want to make sure you're in a quiet space and have a neutral background. And so again, you know, it can be sometimes hard to do if you do live with your family or if you have roommates. So I definitely try to find a nice quiet place where you can do an interview. My school also offered us spaces if we want to do interviews. But again, and then making sure your background is neutral is going to be very important. You also want to dress professionally. So for me, I made sure that I was always wearing like a nice blouse and a blazer. And most people that interviewed wore that, just look very professional and look, and you want to look like you're well put together. And then when you are interviewing, you want to make sure that you're looking at the camera and not the screen. That way you can kind of maintain eye contact with who's interviewing you. And that can sometimes be a little awkward to do just because you want to look at the screen. You want to look at the person that's interviewing you, but try to look at the camera if you can. And then have a backup plan if technical issues do occur, like having a phone call for someone to call, or you know, having the program coordinator's email to email them about any technical issues you have. And like I said, they're willing to work with you all. So don't stress when you do have a technical issue. Just try to reach out to whoever you can to get it resolved as soon as possible so you can go ahead and still have your interview. And then for in-person interviews, you want to make sure that you arrive on time. Actually, not on time. You want to arrive earlier. And then you also want to be polite to everyone you meet. You want to pay attention to your body language. So you want to stand tall, maintain eye contact, and avoid fidgeting. And then you also, if you're able to, try to take notes during the day to help you remember details for thank you notes. And we'll talk about thank you notes later on in this episode. No matter what format it is, both of them are going to require authenticity and enthusiasm. And programs want to see who you really are. And that's the whole point, really, of the interviews, is for programs to get to know you better. So let your personality shine regardless of the interview format.
Let's now talk about how to navigate a tricky or challenging scenario during your interview. One example of this may be an unexpected or surprising question. If this happens to you, don't panic. First, pause. Take a deep breath and then take a moment to collect your thoughts. So what I used to do is I would start by acknowledging the question by saying, you know, that's a great question, to give myself kind of a brief pause to think about it, and then proceed with a thoughtful and structured response. Now, sometimes I needed a little more time, and in those situations where I felt like I need a little more time to think about the question, I would just add, let me think about that for a moment, or can I get a second to just collect my thoughts? And this also shows that you're deliberate and reflective in your response, and that you want to take the time to answer their question and you want to give them a thoughtful answer. And so that's kind of how I handled it, because occasionally you will get asked questions that you may have never gotten asked before or that you may have never really considered. You definitely want to take the time to give them a thoughtful response and not just say a bunch of nonsense or, you know, just start going kind of on a tangent or on a rant. You really want to take time, collect your thoughts. So it's perfectly okay to take a couple minutes, think about the question, and think about what you want to say. Another situation is you might be asked to discuss your weaknesses. And I know that we had briefly touched on this earlier, but I think it's really important to really have an answer prepared for that question, because that is a question you may be asked. And you want to be honest when you're answering this question. You don't want to make up a weakness or anything like that. So you really want to choose a real weakness that you're working on to improve. So for instance, one example would be, I used to struggle with time management, but since then I've adapted tools like using a scheduling app to stay on track. Or you may, you know, mention challenges, maybe delegating tasks on a team project, and now kind of how you're learning to trust team member strength through experiences. And make sure in your example you highlight growth and a proactive attitude. So you really want to acknowledge your weakness and then show how you're working on it. So for me personally, a weakness that I am still working on right now, but that I definitely talked about during my interviews, was one of my personal weaknesses was that I'm a little more reserved than I'd like to be. And for me, I really started to notice this more during my clinical rotations during my third year, where I was a little more quiet. And it wasn't intentional, but I realized it was kind of holding me back in certain situations where I did need to be a little more assertive. And so I kind of discussed on how I've been working on this, especially during my fourth year of medical school, where now I'm on unfamiliar environments a lot of the time, and how I do need to learn how to stand up and speak for myself. And for me, you know, also I started to view being reserved more as a strength as well, because it allows me to be thoughtful and it allows me to be a more reflective communicator. But if you're, you know, navigating a similar challenge, I just want to let you all know that growth takes time and every effort you make to step out of your comfort zone is progress. And again, it's very important to, in general, just really self-reflect on any weaknesses that we have, but definitely throughout this interview season, making sure that you have a couple weaknesses that you want to talk about. So for me, you know, my big one was that I am a little more reserved and it takes me a little bit more time to adapt to change. But yeah, I definitely would say take some time, think about it, think about some steps that you're taking to improve on it. And if you haven't been taking steps to improve on it, you know, what do you want to do in the future to improve on it? Now, another challenging scenario or situation that you may encounter during interviews is they may ask you about an ethical scenario. And so for these, you want to use a structured approach to explain your reasoning. So first, you want to start by identifying the ethical principle that they're kind of talking about. Is it, you know, like autonomy, justice? And then you want to talk about the pros and cons of the potential actions that you might take, and try to consider all the perspectives of everyone that's involved in that scenario. And then you want to explain your decision with empathy, critical thinking, and professionalism. And again, you know, you can look up on the internet like some common ethical scenario questions that you may be asked during residency interview season. Now, for me, I didn't really get asked too much about those, but really with those questions, there's not really a right or wrong answer. They're just trying to see your reasoning and kind of how you work through things. And then if you do get, you know, stressed out or extremely nervous during the interview, first of all, remember that's okay. It happens to everyone. But you definitely want to use like grounding techniques to kind of calm yourself down and relax a little bit. And so for me, what I really did was I did a lot of, you know, just deep breathing. Another really great tip is like closing your eyes and picturing a calming scene or something that kind of relaxes you or brings you comfort. Then you can also practice positive affirmations before your interview to help reframe your nervous energy into confidence. But remember, Nerves are a sign, really, that you care about the outcome of this, and they shouldn't be looked at as a weakness because everybody's going to go into interviews nervous, and that's completely normal. But it's kind of how you navigate that that's going to be very important. So now let's get into what do you do after you're done your interview. So congrats, you finished doing your interview and you're all done, but it doesn't stop just there. It doesn't end when you leave the room. I do want to talk about some post-interview etiquette. So from my experience, I liked to send a thank you note to everyone who interviewed me within 24 to 48 hours. And in that personalized thank you note, I would address it to the individual who interviewed me, like the primary interviewer or panel members, or even if the program coordinator, if they played a significant role in arranging the interviews. And in your thank you note, you want to mention specific moments from the conversation that resonated with you or demonstrated genuine interest in the program. So an example of this would be, you know, saying, thank you for taking the time to discuss blank. I appreciate your insights on blank, which further solidified my excitement about joining blank program name. So, you know, you really want to make sure your thank you note was personalized, because also remember the interviewer has interviewed possibly several candidates throughout that day and throughout the whole interview season. And so you want to make sure that you leave them remembering who you were during the interview. And so that's why in the thank you note, kind of try to make it specific if you can. Now, for me, the way that I went about writing thank you notes is I would, you know, if I didn't have the emails of whoever interviewed me, I would email the program coordinator first, asking, you know, about the emails and asking if I should either send the notes to the program coordinator or if I should send them directly to who interviewed me, because every program is different. Some of them you can send it directly to the to whoever interviewed you, and then other programs they preferred the communication through the program coordinator. But something I really want to touch on that's extremely important is avoid sending thank you notes if the program explicitly instructed you not to send a thank you note, or if you feel like the note is going to be insincere or redundant. Okay, so again, if the program tells you do not send a thank you note, do not send a thank you note. If they, you know, say some programs may say that they don't want any post-interview communication, please, again, respect that and don't send follow-up communication. And that may include a thank you note. Just don't send a thank you note if the program specifically mentions to not send thank you notes. And again, it's okay. Also, if you don't get a response to a thank you note, you're probably not honestly going to get a response. I didn't get a response to a lot of my thank you notes. But again, just remember, these people are extremely busy who's interviewing you. They have, you know, other responsibilities other than just interviewing candidates. So they may read the email, they just might not respond. And also, you never know the program. They may have like specific rules to whoever interviewed you to not respond to any, you know, post-interview communication as well. So just keep that in mind. But again, I think it's important to send a thank you note just to thank whoever took the time and show how appreciative you are that they took the time to interview you. Also, after you're done with the interview, you want to reflect on the experience of the interview in detail. So you want to consider what you learned about the program's culture, values, their opportunities, and how you know your skills and goals are aligned with the program. And you also want to take the time to identify where you excelled during the interview and then aspects of your interview that you may want to improve on for next time. And then you can use these insights to refine your responses, adjust your preparation, and enhance your confidence for future interviews as well. And if appropriate, stay in touch with the program afterwards. Send updates. I only recommend if they're extremely significant, like if you had maybe a new publication or an award or an experience that directly relates to your application or the program's focus. But you definitely want to avoid excessive or trivial communications. And address follow-ups to the program coordinator or if it is appropriate to a specific interviewer, ensuring the message is professional and relevant. And again, I just wanted to reiterate, if a program explicitly discourages follow-up communication, then you should respect that. So remember, every interaction is an opportunity for you to showcase your professionalism and your enthusiasm. So before we conclude with this episode, I wanted to kind of finish off by talking about how to stay grounded during this interview season and how to manage expectations. So these few months can feel stressful and emotionally taxing as you balance preparation, interviews, and the uncertainty of the results. But it's crucial to acknowledge and manage this stress to avoid burnout. So first, you want to recognize the stress and understand that it's normal to feel overwhelmed. Residency interviews are a high-pressure process, but being aware of this can help you take proactive steps to manage it. Also, create a plan. So stick to a realistic schedule for preparation, ensuring that you have time for self-care, exercise, and connecting with loved ones. A structured plan can give you a sense of control during this chaotic time. So for me, you know, I would try to make sure that I had adequate time in between interviews to rest and recharge and to do things that I enjoy doing. Because honestly, during your fourth year of medical school, this is the year where you are going to have the most free time, and take advantage of that as well. Definitely take some time for yourself. Another thing is practice mindfulness. Techniques like meditation, deep breathing, or even just daily like walks can help you clear your mind and refocus your energy and remind yourself why you're doing this. And then something else that really helped me is focus on the light at the end of the tunnel. Remember, this process is temporary. After a few months, interview season is over, and then it's going to lead you to the next exciting chapter of your medical career. So keep your eye on the goal and remind yourself how far you've come. So here's a few final tips to help you stay balanced. Celebrate small wins. So every invitation, every interview and connection you make is a step forward. So acknowledge your progress and give yourself credit for all of the hard work that you've put into this. And stay flexible as well. So remember, plans can change. Sometimes, unfortunately, programs may have to be rescheduled, or as I previously mentioned, they may have technical issues, or you might find new priorities during the year and different opportunities. So embrace these changes as part of the process. Also, during this time, it's going to be extremely important to lean on your support system. So don't hesitate to seek advice or share your experiences with friends, family, or mentors. They can offer you encouragement and perspective when the journey feels overwhelming. So definitely, if there's any, you know, peers in your class, in your fourth year class that are going through interview season, try to reach out to them if you're uncertain or you are having some difficulty with interviews or you have some questions, or try to reach out to advisors at your school as well, and they may be able to help guide you, or even to any, you know, resident mentors that you may have met along the way, you know, if you have any questions or you need some advice, and they can also be there to help you as well. And then keep perspective. So remember, no single interview defines your future. I know exactly how it feels after you do an interview and you're not sure, how did I do? Did I do well? How did they perceive me? What impression did I leave? It's very common and normal to have these type of questions after you do an interview. But just again, focus on the big picture. Focus on how much you've grown to achieve your goals and to get to this point. And then also focus on the opportunities that lie ahead after you're done your interviews. And then you also want to practice self-compassion. So it's normal to feel nervous or unsure at times. But remember, be kind to yourself. You're navigating a highly competitive and challenging process, and every effort you make is a step in the right direction. So just really focus on how far you've come, and also focus on how incredibly exciting the future, the next, you know, few months are going to be after you're done interview season. So today we've covered a lot of ground. During this episode, we discussed the purpose of residency interviews, how to effectively prepare for residency interviews, how to handle the different formats that you might encounter, and even during your interview, how to tackle maybe common challenges that you might encounter, and then how to follow up after your interview. And I hope after this episode that you all feel like you have a comprehensive toolkit for success. But before we finish this episode, I just wanted to take a moment to self-reflect on my own journey throughout interview season. As I record this episode, it's the end of January, and I've finished my residency interviews a couple weeks ago, and I can say it's been a long, I don't want to say long 3 months, because it's honestly went by extremely fast, but I started interviewing in October, and to see how much I've grown from October to January, doing almost over 20 interviews now, I've definitely grown as a person, and I can't help but recognize how much I have. And initially, when interview season first started, for me, it was the end of October, I felt overwhelmed by the sheer volume of preparation and pressure to perform. But honestly, each interview taught me something new about myself. And as the season went on, I learned how to articulate my story with confidence and how to adapt to unexpected questions and how to embrace my strengths and my story. And one of the most valuable lessons I learned during interview season was the importance of resilience. During interview season, there were several times where I did doubt myself or I felt fatigued by the process because, like I said, I did this for about 3 months, and honestly, by the end of it, I did feel a little bit of burnout. But I did recognize that every challenge was an opportunity to grow. And honestly, by the end of this season, I feel a lot more self-assured and prepared, not just honestly for residency, but my future career as a physician. And so I want to remind you all, as you go through this journey, to take time to self-reflect on your own growth and celebrate how far you've come and the skills that you've gained along the way. And each process of this journey is shaping you into the physician that you aspire to be. And that's something to be extremely proud of. Now, before I wrap up, I wanted to talk about some of the key points that we discussed and to just really summarize what we talked about during this episode and really the purpose of this episode, and I hope that you all did find it helpful. But first, we started off by exploring the importance of research and preparation for an interview. So definitely taking the time to do research on the program and to prepare for these interviews is going to be extremely important, and I want to remind you to take that time to really also prepare for interviews and to do your best with that. And also, for that's going to include not just knowing the program, but also knowing yourself. So knowing your weaknesses, your strengths, and your stories. And this is going to be the foundation for a great interview, because I found throughout my interviews, most of the time, I was talking mainly about myself. And, you know, the interviewer wants to get to know you beyond your application. And so during interviews, you really are going to talk about yourself a lot. And so definitely knowing yourself and knowing what, you know, you want to talk about yourself and what you're proud about is really going to help you throughout interview season. Then later on, we talked about practical strategies for answering common questions. And I want to remind you all to please practice those common questions and really have kind of an idea of what you would answer for each question. And it's going to make preparing for interviews a lot easier. And it's also going to help you during interviews. And it's going to become kind of second nature to start to kind of go back to those responses. And then we also talked about how to manage unexpected or challenging scenarios during your interview. And we also talked about virtual and in-person interview formats and how to adapt to each of those. And then finally, we emphasized the importance of post-interview etiquette. So how to follow up, when it's appropriate to follow up. And then if you are going to send a thank you note, what to kind of include in a thank you note and who to address those to. And then we talked about how to stay grounded throughout this process. So as I mentioned, residency interviews are a challenging and stressful process, but again, they're an incredible opportunity to showcase your growth throughout medical school, your skills, and your passion for medicine, and to remind you why you're doing what you're doing. And remember that every step from receiving an interview invitation to completing the interview is a testament to your hard work and dedication that you've put into this journey, and it's something that every single one of you should be proud of. And I also want to remind you about the light at the end of the tunnel. So it's extremely easy to get lost in the stress of these months, but keep reminding yourself that this is a temporary phase, and honestly, at the time, it may feel like it's dragging out or it's really long, but it is going to go by really fast. So definitely enjoy this experience as much as you can. And at the end of it, you'll take the next big step toward achieving your dream of becoming a physician. So focus on the goal. Focus on the goal, which is to be the best physician that you can be. And don't lose sight of why you started this journey in the first place. And so some final advice that I have for you all is trust in the process. You've done the work and you're ready to succeed. Also, be authentic. Programs value candidates who are genuine and passionate. And also lean on your support system during this time. So whether that's going to be friends, family, or mentors, you don't have to navigate this alone. And also celebrate your progress. Each interview is a milestone that's going to bring you closer to your goal. Now, before I finish up, I wanted to talk about some important resources to help you prepare for interviews and to help this process go a lot smoother. So some resources that I took advantage of were the AAMC's interview tips and also mock interview guides. I think these are really going to help you refine your responses and anticipate potential questions. You can also utilize like any mentors that you have, whether that's, you know, through your medical school or any residents that you may have met along the way to gain invaluable advice and perspective on the process. And then there are some other platforms that you can use to help you practice and prepare for interviews. And honestly, for me, one resource that I used, not going to lie to you all, is Reddit. I've found Reddit extremely helpful. People, you know, a lot of people would post questions that are going through this process like you are. And it was a really good way to also connect with other medical students. Another guide that can help you is the First Aid for the Match. This offers high yield advice specific to the application and interview season. And then, as I mentioned, lastly, don't underestimate the power of connecting with residents by attending the meet and greet sessions or virtual Q&A events hosted by programs. Most programs will host like either in the beginning of the week or on the weekend or maybe the day before your interview, a meet and greet with the residents. And if you're able to attend those sessions, I really recommend attending those because they will provide you with insight about the program's culture, work-life balance, and resident dynamics. And you can really get to ask your questions directly to the residents who are experiencing residency at this program, who have also went through this process recently, and they can really provide you with that insight. And speaking with current residents can also provide you tips for excelling in interviews and understanding what qualities that program values most. And also building rapport with residents during these events not only helps you prepare, but also demonstrates genuine interest in the program to the faculty and staff. And so these resources combined with your authenticity, preparation, and determination will ensure you leave a lasting impression. Remember, you've already accomplished so much to reach this stage, so trust yourself and your abilities. Success is within your reach. Thank you for joining me on the Sink or Swim podcast. And I just wanted to leave you all with saying good luck with your interviews. You've all got this.